Hello, everyone. Welcome to UGA Sports Rumors versus Facts. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Jed May. We may be joined by Trent later on. He's got some family business taken care of this evening, but he may jump on here with us in just a minute. But Jed, my, we had this weekend circled for quite some time. Had 16 absolute blue chip prospects. Everybody in the country seemingly is offered the majority of these guys, and it was a fast-paced weekend that we were working hard to get updates for and provide people on the vault with those. And what was your takeaways, kind of just 30,000-foot view here of this weekend for Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, it's circled for a reason, right? Like you mentioned, you've got probably six or seven commits, I believe, in town, including Dylan Raiola, of course. You got number one defensive tackle, Justin Scott, number one safety, Peyton Woodyard, who's committed. You got Williams Nwaneri and Dylan Stewart, edge guys. Like at every position, it seemed like there was a guy in town that Georgia is really after, whether we had, you know, tight end, Carter Nelson, you know, receiver, Nye Carr, that Georgia's working to keep committed. Just everywhere, there's talent all over the place. You know, it's easy to so, you know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. There's no in most instances, there's no such thing as a bad official visit. Guys have a good time. They get good food. They get treated well, whatever. But there are some, you know, major recruitments that Georgia made big moves in this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. There's lots of guys that we and you're going to have a tracker tomorrow out on the full allotment of these guys. But two players that, and it's quite obvious by things that they've said, stuff they put on social media, stuff like that, that I put a note out on this morning were Williams Nwaneri and Carter Nelson, one on the defensive side, one on the offensive side, but extremely athletic, both of them. Both guys, they just happen to play, you know, different sides of the ball in different positions. But you're talking about two guys that are 6'5", 6'6". One's Nelson's 215 pounds and just freakishly athletic, what he can do on that side. And Nwaneri, 255 to 65 pounds, depending on, you know, when you're catching him and things like that. Jed, these are two athletic guys that Georgia would love to have in the class of 2024. And it seems like, without having a whole lot of outward, you know, blatant momentum going into it, that Georgia has come out with some with those two guys.
Yeah, with Williams, you know, he's one of these edge five tech, standing up, hand in the dirt, kind of these hybrid guys. Jader Uzodiribe has been recruiting him. And like you said, Georgia, it's not like, you know, for a guy like Daniel Calhoun, for example, came into this weekend, we've all felt Georgia was the leader there for a while. Georgia made up some serious ground with Williams Nwaneri, and you know, they're going head to head with Oklahoma. There's Missouri in there. There's Oregon, I believe, in there. But yeah, but I mean, Georgia really climbed the ladder. And Blaine, you spoke with him on Sunday, and basically the pitch at all three levels, whether it be commits, whether it's Kirby Smart, or whether it's Uzodiribe, is simple. If you come in and do the work from day one, number one, you've got a good chance to play early. Number two, you'll be three and out as a high NFL draft pick. So, and obviously Georgia's got the pedigree to back that up with Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, you know, Robert Beal, whoever you want to list. And then Carter Nelson, he's a guy, you look at these tight ends, the guys that are left at Georgia that are still on the board, whether it's Amir Jackson, Caleb Odom, obviously Carter Nelson, they're all kind of these hybrid types, 6'5", 215, I believe is what Carter's at, and he's a freak show. He's a long jump champion, I think. Was seven feet,
and he's 6'5", 215 pounds, high jumping seven feet. I mean, good grief, that is unreal. Like you can't even put that into words what he's doing. And then also, Jed, he's a guy that is about to break, you know, probably if he did track this upcoming year, if he wasn't an early enrollee guy, he would probably break a 11-second 100 meter. So this is a guy that is that he can really run for that size, has great hands. I've seen him line up on the outside, and they just chuck it up deep to him because he's taller than all those little Nebraska high school corners that he's playing against and things like that, and just picking on those guys. But, man, a incredible athlete. And, yes, I don't think it matters that you know, they already have Colton Heinrich and Jaden Riddell committed. Georgia needs more tight ends, because if you look at that room, when Brock Bowers is gone, you know, they're going to have Sperling, Delp, and Lucky, but you got Delp for one more year, probably, you know, after that. So you always have to continue to replenish as much as Georgia utilizes tight end. And Jed, you mentioned that if Carter Nelson is one that were to come in, he's a more of a hybrid type guy anyway. So you could probably see him utilized at receiver, maybe even a little bit like a Pierce Sperling type player.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily envision a world where it's, you know, Delp and Lucky, say, with Nelson split out, or however they want to do it. It's an easy thing to envision just with his skill set. Like you said, he's a freak athlete. He can run. He's got great height. He's got the size. He can block on the outside, especially if he gets matched up against, you know, a smaller corner or something. So, you know, coming in, he was a guy who – you know, people on the board wondered, hey, is he a take? And number one, Blaine, this might just be me, but I feel like if Georgia is given a guy an official visit with the 53 or 56 or whatever they're allotted, it seems to me the guy's probably a take to begin with, number one. But two, you know, based on what we heard on, you know, Thursday, Friday leading into things, Carter Nelson is a guy Georgia wants. And it seemed like Nebraska might be the front runner leading into this thing, but Georgia is firmly up there as one of the top contenders in this thing right now, coming out of a weekend visit to Athens. Still a long way to go. I mean, I don't think he's a Georgia lock or anything, but you know, Georgia's definitely put itself in a good spot coming out of 48 hours in Athens.
No doubt. We do have to touch, you know, some news of the day and things like that. And Jed, one of the things, as we were talking earlier, you and I were talking earlier today, when we were talking, Amari Jefferson is a guy who dropped his top six today, and Georgia is in it. And we've talked a lot about the receiver position and things like that. You know, you've been kind of in tune following along that recruitment pretty intently. Talk to us about Jefferson and his top six.
Yeah, well, first of all, he's from Chattanooga. He goes to school with Whit Muschamp's, or Will Muschamp's son, Witt, up there in Chattanooga. So that's kind of how the Georgia relationship started. And every time he's been to Athens a lot, I want to say he made two game day visits last year. He's visited a couple times this year. And he's just one of these guys that's always around Athens. He's committed to Tennessee for baseball as well. So Tennessee is getting an official visit, he noted today. Alabama's getting one as well. So I think those are kind of the three, I guess, you know, not necessarily finalists, but the three standing out the most. And he's a guy, every time I've talked to him, he said he feels he could be used like a Ladd McConkey, which I guess would be the Z role in Georgia's offense, that outside guy. Quicker guy, shifty guy. He's probably about 6 foot, maybe 185, 90 pounds. So he's a great athlete, obviously, being committed to Tennessee for baseball, a good baseball program there. And he loves Georgia a lot. He's built a great relationship with Ryan McClendon. He's got the relationship with Muschamp as well. So Georgia's in a good spot with him. And there's a lot of names kind of hanging around there for one, maybe two receiver spots. Like we were just talking about with Carter Nelson, he could maybe check off half of a receiver slot or something. So between Mike Matthews and Wingo and Jeremiah Smith, all these guys that are still out there, Amari Jefferson is a guy that the Georgia staff is pretty high on too.
No doubt. Then the other news, of course, today, Sammy Brown is going to Clemson. He is a guy that for the last couple of weeks, with literally everyone very close to that commitment, that recruitment was saying was trending towards Georgia. I mean, he took a visit by himself the Wednesday before going up to on the official visit just to visit with Glenn Schumann and talk to him just by himself, one-on-one time. I mean, everything seemed to be trending that way. And then Sunday morning, gets up and feels like Clemson is the place that he needs to be and commits to Clemson. He's not going to be doing any other visits. Listen, we love the vault. We love all the message boards, everything that comes along with recruiting, how this goes, okay? But I just want people to keep in mind, and I think you would reiterate this sentiment, Jed. Sammy Brown's one of the best kids I've ever covered in terms of his being respectful, how he carried himself, how he went about stuff. So there's some people you may think that, hey, everybody, we want everybody to share opinions. You may think Sammy Brown, maybe he wasn't even the right fit for Georgia, you think, or maybe you think he wasn't as good as some people have him ranked or something like that. And that, if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. But Sammy Brown's an unbelievable athlete and a great human being, a better human being than he is an athlete, and that's saying something. I just want people to remember that there's families, parents, all this involved with this kind of stuff. So just keep that in mind when you're talking about 17, 18-year-old kids on stuff is all I would caution people. But, man, a talented linebacker that goes to Clemson. Jed, I think you said to me today, you know, sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes you just don't win them all. And I think that's what happened with Georgia and Glenn Schumann this time around.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, we said it last year with Arch Manning. It goes with, you know, if Jeremiah Smith ends up choosing Ohio or signing with Ohio State, sometimes you just lose. And Blaine, we were on kind of an unrelated call with Roddy earlier today, and he said specifically Clemson, you know, Dabo Swinney has established a unique culture there. And listen, like you were just saying, people on the Vol can say it's this, say it's that, throw all these derogatory terms out, but obviously it's gotten Clemson a lot of good players over the years, and that culture just resonates with some kids. And listen, you know, we both got to know Sammy. Sammy loves hunting. Sammy loves fishing, outdoorsy stuff. They were hanging out on a lake on Friday afternoon in Clemson. I'm not saying that's the reason he committed, but it's just sometimes cultures at certain places resonate with kids, and that's where they want to be. Obviously, he loves the coaches at these places at his finalists, but and I'm sure that was a hard phone call he had to make to Glenn Schumann, whether it was Sunday afternoon or earlier today, whenever it was. That I'm sure that was really hard for him because he's I mean, Glenn Schumann's invested a lot of time in him over the past couple of years. So, but yeah, I mean, sometimes you just lose. This isn't NIL. This isn't, you know, Georgia backed off and didn't want it. Sometimes you go head to head and you get beat. And, you know, I wish Sammy the best. He's a good kid. He's from close to where I'm from. So I got a little soft spot in my heart for him for that. But he's a great kid. His dad's great. We both met his dad at Jefferson practices. He's a good dude. And yeah, Georgia went for him and they lost. But I will say this, when you look at what Georgia's brought in last class at that position, you could definitely, you know, it seems like Sammy Brown would have been a bit more of a luxury item for Georgia to bring in at that position. Whereas, you know,
just in general, inside linebacker wasn't like, okay, you got to go out and stock it. Now, do I think people will be disappointed with the inside linebacker haul that Georgia brings in? Absolutely not. I think they're going to do just fine in that department. And we've covered some guys even this weekend. You had DeMarcus Riddick, who is a Georgia commit, has had all kinds of turmoil swirling around him. We'll get to questions about him in a minute. But you also had Joseph Phillips on, and we'll talk more about him in a little while, Jed. You've talked about Chris Cole, but point being, without going down a, you know, too specific on any of them, because we're going to touch on them in our questions, Georgia has a lot of inside linebackers that they're still right there in the mix for, and very, very good ones at that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you think about it, Georgia brings in the three talented guys last year. If you get a combination of two of, obviously, DeMarcus Riddick, who's on board, but you look at the names like Christopher Jones, Chris Cole, Justin Williams, Joseph Phillips, all these guys, I mean, a combination of two of those dudes to stack on what you got last year, and you're smiling big if you're Glenn Schumann. Yeah, did he want to get a Sammy Brown to Marcus Riddick pairing? Absolutely, because they were probably the two of the top, I don't know, four at the position or whatever in the 24 rankings. But Georgia's going to be just fine at inside linebacker with all the guys or all the irons they've kind of got in the fire going right now.
No doubt. I wanted to welcome everybody in here. Andy Stowe, of course, is in here with us. Andy, appreciate you. I don't know if you're dual watching, man. I know you probably got Monday Night Raw on while you're watching this. Andy's a big wrestling guy, just like I am. Low Country Dog's in here. David Williams is in here. Rhett Womack, Brandon Lois, Bobby Sagas, we appreciate all you guys in here. Even Chris Foster, Mr. Tennessee likes to blow us up in here. We appreciate it, Darren Franklin. We're going to get to all you guys' questions in just a minute. But you may have seen, you know, if I had the Jeffersons theme song queued up and could play it, we're moving on up here, Jed, because we got a sponsor on the show. Don't look now, but Rumors versus Facts is getting some of that sponsorship love. You know, Roddy and Don and Dane, they got like six sponsors over there. So they decided to sprinkle a little love over here to Rumors versus Facts. And you see it down there at the bottom, Julie's Bookkeeping. Okay, you can find them online. I put it in the comments, JulieTheBookkeeper.com. That's JulieThe Bookkeeper.com. Okay, so if you need help with bookkeeping, which I know everybody does out there, it's a headache to do. I don't care if you've got a LLC, S Corp, whatever you got to do, you got to make sure you're doing it right. So you got your money right, so people don't sue you, all this kind of stuff that's going on. But they provide services to businesses focused on essential tasks so they can make more money and spend more time with their families. You know, you can outsource your bookkeeping and increase your profitability by up to $7,000 a year, Julie, the bookkeeper and company tell you. So they are a big group of Georgia fans, Jed, and this accomplishes two goals. I mean, tell the people what we got going on here with Julie the bookkeeper.
Yeah, one, you get to save some money, which, you know, you get to save up for some road trips, whether it's national championship in Houston this year, semifinals at the Rose Bowl maybe, but also you get to support fellow dog fans. You know, Julie and Chris Attaway, they're always at the games. Julie's got her custom Jordan Davis jersey that she rocks every Saturday. So you get to support some people who support the dogs as well. So give them a look. It's JulieTheBookkeeper.com. Click schedule now, and then you're off and running. So support some fellow dog fans and save some money while you're at it.
Yeah, Julie, she wanted us to reiterate that she raised her son to be a UGA fan, and he still loves UGA, even though he went to FSU. And they have a saying in their household, Julie and Chris do, they hate the Gators twice, and they wanted us to tell y'all go dogs. So that is from Julie and Chris at Julie's Bookkeeping, JulieTheBookkeeper.com. So check those guys out. We really appreciate it. It helps us out. It's going to help you out, save money, and they're Georgia fans, so it stays in the Georgia community. So appreciate those guys sponsoring the show. We'll leave their stuff going across the bottom of the screen there. Now, Jed, let's get to some of these questions right off the bat. We already touched on this one just a little bit, but we'll get to it anyways. Distiller Dog.
Yeah, with Sammy Brown out of the picture, what does the board look like at inside linebacker?
Okay, so at inside linebacker, we know DeMarcus Riddick is, of course, committed, and it looks like Georgia is looking to take three inside linebackers from what the inside linebackers we've talked to have been told by Georgia, and sources that we have talked to have told us as well. So with those three, you're really, in my mind, looking at four guys for three spots right now with – did you get froze up, Jed? Okay, you good?
No, I'm good.
The camera froze. It's glitching out for a second. But at least on my end, I don't know. But Chris Cole is one. He's from Virginia. He's coming on an official visit June 16th through 18th. DeMarcus Riddick was in town. He's committed. There's been lots of rumors swirling, okay, Auburn, Alabama, all this kind of stuff, trying to get in. I think Georgia held their ground and maybe even solidified that ground a little bit this week with him. Then you have Joseph Phillips, who came out of this weekend very high on Georgia, is going to take an official visit to Tennessee this upcoming weekend, but the reports out of Athens are strong on Joseph Phillips. And then also you have Justin Williams out of Texas that they're considering as well. So inside linebackers, lots of options there, Jed. And I mean, that's the four main ones I would think that you're looking at for those three spots.
Yeah, there's Christopher Jones as well. He's taking an official visit. I know he was at Florida this past weekend, and Florida feels good there. But looking at these other guys, Chris Cole taking an official visit in June, made an unofficial visit to Athens this past week to camp and basically get the experience of being coached by Glenn Schumann. And when you think about it, he's from Virginia, came down to Athens on his own dime, then went right back up and took an official visit to Penn State. You know, over the weekend. So that's a lot of travel to you know, get a Georgia coaching experience. So he's clearly very interested in Georgia is high on him as well. Riddick, obviously you want to keep committed. And I think, you know, we've talked when we've mentioned Riddick before, Georgia needs to get him on campus, needs to get him on campus. So far he's still committed. And what's our saying, Blaine? You're committed till you're not. And yep. He's visited Alabama, what, two or three times this spring, I believe. He's still.
Well, look at this picture. Our picture at the top. You see that guy in between DeMello Jones and Peyton Woodyard? That is DeMarcus Riddick, and he's got a big old you know what eating grin on his face over there, as my grandfather used to say. So I think he had himself a good time.
He did.
He committed to Georgia for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to think Georgia did a good job, like you were saying.
Yeah, and they've weathered the storm so far, and now they've gotten it back on campus, so we'll see how that goes. And then Joseph Phillips, you mentioned, reports are strong. Justin Williams is taking that official visit the last weekend in June, and the kind of, you know, extenuating circumstance or whatever there. His high school teammate, Joseph Jonah Ajanye, is, you know, a five-tech Georgia's looking at. Georgia is – they are both very high on Georgia, and it's interesting because Georgia's kind of gotten involved in their recruitments – a little bit later, like within the past few months or so, but have shot up their boards. You know, they both visited for the scavenger hunt a couple weeks ago, and Georgia is right in the thick of it for both of those guys. They're officially visiting together. Could they end up teaming up on Georgia's defense eventually? That, you know, Kirby Smart sure would love that. So those guys are officially visiting at the end of the month. So yeah, like you said, probably four guys for three spots. You know, I guess priority number one is keeping Riddick in the fold, which I think he's obviously extremely talented. And then you see how things shake out with the rest of these guys over the next month. All of them are going to be in Athens on an official visit, either already have been in the case of Joseph Phillips or will be coming up in the case of Chris Cole and Justin Williams.
Yeah, so we had that question a couple of times, and I do appreciate you pronouncing the name Joseph Jonah Ajanye for me there so I could hear it, because I cannot pronounce these names very well. So I'm going to rely on the real journalist here with me to help me out with this journalist by trade. And of course, the official ranker of all recruits in Rivals. And we do have a question on that. So Big Fatty 94 says, B-Babe Ruth for a second and call y'all's shots on how many legit five-star receivers are in Athens by 2026. This may have something to do with the article I wrote about Julian Lewis and people feeling like Georgia's got a real good chance with Julian Lewis. People should feel that way, because Georgia does have a very strong chance with Julian Lewis. There's about 3-4 programs that have a serious chance to land Julian Lewis, all the ones you would expect, maybe 5 if you know, want to throw Ohio State in there, but there's USC, there's LSU, Alabama, Georgia, those type of programs. Clemson could maybe claw their way in, but I'm telling you that those type of programs are the ones that Julian Lewis is looking the hardest at, and he took a multi-day visit, so I'm assuming that has something to do with it by then. But Jed, that would include the 24 class, the 25 class, and the 26 class to get things going there. So if you had to pick a number, and this is almost impossible to do since we don't even – these classes haven't really started to take shape yet, a little bit in 25, what would you set the over-under of legit five-star receivers in Athens by 2026?
I mean, let's go by class, right? I mean, 24, you feel like they probably will get one somewhere, somehow, you would think. And that's if Nykar doesn't end up getting a fifth star. 25, there's Ryan Williams, I think, is probably your leading candidate right now. Obviously, he was at the throwing session at Jefferson a couple weeks ago. 26, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know a ton of star receivers yet. So I don't know. Let's see. So we'll say one, two. I'll be optimistic and say four.
So yeah, I would set the over under at 3.5 because you're talking about three classes. That's getting maybe two in one class, one in one of the others. So I would set the over under at 3.5. Wouldn't be shocked by then to see four of the five star receivers on campus by 2026. But my goodness, we're getting into the weeds when we talk about this question. Now, comments wise, Randy Hall, he normally submits on the vault, but he didn't get in there today. I posted it a little bit late. He asked me on the vault, I wrote about two silent commits that was coming into this, this weekend. He wants to know if those that we have written up have publicly committed. They have not yet. So there's quite a few guys out there that have told Georgia that their intention is to be a Bulldog. Some of them are going to continue to take some visits just to make sure that they're 100% sure. Peyton Woodyard, Jed, told us that Georgia encourages that, tells people, hey, if you feel like you want to go take visits, then go take visits. I mean, I've heard people say in terms of when people commit elsewhere, we want guys that want to be in this program. We're not scared for people to go take visits. If people fall in love with other places, then that's where they need to go. So, you know, that's kind of the approach that Georgia is taking this. But, Randy, to answer your question, those guys that I was referring to have not publicly committed yet. I think you're going to see a good many of these guys in late June, early July pop off for Georgia, and maybe one within the coming, I don't know, 10 to 15 days could pop off here. But Jed, lots of guys that I think Georgia is in the lead for that have intended to say, hey, we want to be a Georgia Bulldog, but want to go check out, you know, these other places, because it's basically like a free vacation for some of these kids.
Well, I mean, you mentioned him. You know who's taking that advice? Peyton Woodyard, who's got official visits to Alabama and Ohio State. Ellis Robinson's going to Miami. DeMelo Jones visited Tennessee and is going to visit Alabama. And, you know, it's interesting because I saw something on Twitter today where I guess USC had a big official visit weekend. They've gotten four big commitments out of that weekend already. And I don't think that's not really how Georgia has, you don't really see a ton of weekends in Athens where guys like commit like boom, 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 right out of the weekend. Because like you said, Georgia wants these guys to go see what's out there and make sure that they want to be part of the program. One, you know, Kirby doesn't want to bring guys in only to have them transfer a year later. I mean, that's just how it is in college football now. And more, you've got to make sure that guys are in it for the long haul. And how do you do that? You get guys to explore every avenue available to them. And you see prospects doing this too. Like, the Buford guys, KJ Bolden and Edric Houston, they took a ton of visits this spring to places they hadn't been before. Why? To see what was out there, to see if there was anywhere else that they wanted to jump up their list. So it happens. Georgia, like you said, encourages it. They want guys to see what's out there. But the other side of that is once June is kind of over and guys have seen what they want to see in June, that's when the commits could kind of start coming in, late June, early July.
Yes, sir. And we've got right here, KSKJ1869 has a question for us, Jed.
Yeah, after this weekend's official visit, do you feel like we, Georgia, have solidified the commitment of DeMarcus Riddick in the class?
We touched on that a little bit. I would say that is trending into more of a solid situation, much more so than it was just by being back on campus, reaffirming that connection, things like that. Is that how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations. I mean, Georgia's weathered the storm so far. I mean, they've fought off. I mean, obviously, Riddick hasn't been on campus, but he's been in communication with the Georgia staff, right? And they've fought off the Alabama advances. And listen, he was at Alabama's spring game, and he was, you know, he rode in the, I think, Mercedes with Nick Saban to the game and all this kind of stuff. Through all that, Georgia's weathered it. So it was almost like, has Alabama, you know, how many more bullets have they got in the chamber to use on an official visit if they've weathered it so far? So, yeah, I think Georgia feels better about keeping Riddick in the class coming out of this weekend. Obviously, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. You never count the chickens before they hatch.
It's going to be one of those things, I'm sure, where we're probably not going to know till he signs on December 20th or whatever. But I feel like Georgia feels better about its position with DeMarcus Riddick coming out of this weekend.
For sure. Now, Deep Franklin 31 has a question for us, Jed.
Yeah, which receivers does Georgia have a legitimate chance of landing? And do you really believe Nye Carr will stick with Georgia? And then also, which running backs does Georgia have its best chance at?
Yeah, go ahead and address Nye Carr right off the bat for us there, Jed, and then we'll get into the other legitimate receivers that Georgia has a chance of landing.
Yeah, I do think Nye Carr sticks with Georgia. I think he spent a lot of time recruiting Dylan Raiola behind the scenes, and all the stuff about Florida State was kind of swirling. That certainly doesn't help Georgia's case to a receiver when you land a guy like that. And he's becoming one of these recruiters. Like even earlier this spring, I went to go see Daniel Calhoun at practice. Who did he talk to a lot? Nye Carr. So I think he does stick. He's another guy. He's a little bit of a character. I think he's another guy that you won't be 100% sure on until he signs on the dotted line. But as of right now, I'm picking Georgia to sign him for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he as of today, if I had to put money down on it, I'd say he's gonna stay in the class. Now, receivers that Georgia has a legitimate chance with, I think, you know, coming into this weekend, I'd heard a lot from a lot of different sources that there was some strain in the relationship between Georgia and Ryan Wingo. We didn't put him in our top 10 of momentum with the guys that are still on the table. I still would not put him in the top 10 of momentum that we're going to update, you know. We'd like to do those a couple of weeks out, so we'll do those a couple of weeks apart at least. So probably after this next set of official visits, I'll update the top 10, but I wouldn't put Wingo in it right now. I do think Georgia helped themselves with Wingo, and that relationship was strengthened this weekend. I'll have an article coming out on him tomorrow, but I don't know that I would put him up there at the one of saying, okay, I think it's likely. I think it's interesting right now in that Jeremiah Smith, we know that's a flip situation that, you know, if it happens, it's going to happen at the end. And there's probably some extenuating circumstances with Brian Hartline and things like that that would have to happen for that to be the case. Georgia has kicked the tires on guys like Trey Horn, but it looks like he's going to make a decision to go elsewhere probably tomorrow. So there's guys that, you know, the Amari Jeffersons of the world, the Carter Nelsons of the world, who are freak tight ends that can also play receiver, are guys that Georgia's going to be looking at. Jed, anybody else come to mind as legitimate contenders at receiver?
Yeah, I mean, Amari Jefferson, I mean, things have fallen off. I mean, it would take a lot for Georgia to get back in it with Zion Reagans, I think, just because things have kind of really cooled off a lot there. I mean, you look at the big four, I guess, at Wingo, Matthews.
Yeah, Mike Matthews. I didn't mention Mike Matthews.
Wingo, Matthews, Smith, and I'm blanking on one. I mean, there's Cam Coleman. I think Cameron Coleman is an interesting one because he took an unofficial visit in May. It seems like Georgia put itself in the running for an official, but there's no real date on it. So things are kind of in flux there. But I will say earlier this spring when I saw him at Under Armour before he had really, really taken off, we asked him who are the schools that are in contact the most that you really talk to a lot. It was Georgia and it was Auburn. And obviously Auburn has solidified itself as a favorite there, being right up the road from his high school in Phoenix City. But I think Georgia has been there for a while, maybe longer than some other programs that are really standing out. So that's going to be one where I think Georgia could be positioning itself to make a move it's going to be a matter of getting him on campus. When does the official happen? When does his decision happen? When does he? There's a lot of moving pieces there, but that could be one where Georgia is, I guess, positioned to make a move a little bit. Legitimate chance, sure. Like there's legitimate and there's realistic. It's kind of depending on how you interpret it. But Cam Coleman could be one to watch.
Yeah, I think Cam Coleman and Mike Matthews are the two names that you need to look at the most when you're talking about of who Georgia will really, really push for here. I think Ryan Wingo is a situation where that's going to – in fact, he told me that's going to be a long-haul situation. It's going to take till probably December for him to make a decision. He's not deciding anytime soon. So if you're looking for really, I think, one spot, I think it's looking more like four receivers – and then possibly, if you want, depending on a hybrid guy with Carter Nelson, because Carter Nelson, I think Georgia made a tremendous move with. And he's still got official visits left to go. He's from the state of Nebraska. Nebraska's going to get the last shot and things like that. But it's, you know, when you see the picture of him lined up with Lawson Lucky, with Todd Hartley beside him, with Rock Bowers in that picture, with Pierce Sperling there, all recruiting him on his official visit, taking the photos, all that kind of stuff, and then seeing what Georgia has produced at tight end, whether he's a hybrid tight end, whether he's mostly a receiver, whatever he is, if he grows into being just a full, you know, straight out tight end, the athleticism he possesses with that 7 foot high jump, with the outstanding broad jump, with the 100 meter time, all that kind of stuff. He is really, really something to behold. And I think somebody Georgia is someone is pushing hard for. So when you're talking about that, Jed, I think, you know, Cam Coleman, Mike Matthews, really, you look at those two guys, you look at maybe Wingo or Smith out there, I think you're all looking for really one spot at receiver when it comes down to it.
Well, and the thing too is, you mentioned Wingo said it's going to take a while. Smith, probably at this point, if he were to flip, it would be if and when something happens with Brian Hartline taking another job or whatever, which wouldn't happen until after the season. So if you're Georgia and Cam Coleman or Mike Matthews wants to jump on board, you probably just you go for it, right? So
not saying that they wouldn't take one of the others as well.
You'd figure it out. I'm just saying, like, you know, with Mike Matthews, I believe Mike Matthews wants to commit before the season. You know, not as sure. I think Cam Coleman's process might be going a little longer. But, yeah, and then you've got a hybrid guy like Carter Nelson. So it could be one of those things where we start getting down to the end and you see how spots are shaking out. Okay, we might have an extra spot, whatever. But, yeah, those four and Amari Jefferson, too, are kind of lurking around for those one, maybe two, maybe a hybrid, whatever, kind of spots.
Jeff Hightop asked, do you feel Nitro Tuggle will start to look around or firmly stick? I think Nitro Tuggle is – I think he's all Georgia as of right now. I don't anticipate there being any movement in that. I think, in fact, he's even canceled some visits that he was going to take and things like that. So I think Georgia is in good spot with Nitro Tuggle. Baron von Hinsteidel called you on here because I couldn't put it all on here. He said, since Jed is the Jim Crockett of Rivals, and Jim Crockett ran Jim Crockett Promotions, a wrestling promotion back in the day, Jed, because I know you don't know that. He said, what are the chances of Jed bumping up Carter Nelson, Puglisi, Dwight Phillips, Nitro Tuggle, Marcus Harrison, Christopher Jackson, Cam Michael, and Trey Horns? Are you going to bump up all those players?
Yeah, it's on my list. There are some other ones that I need to bump up as well. But, I mean, like, Nitro Tuggle is going to go up. I think Christopher Jackson could continue to go up with getting some senior film out there. Puglisi isn't in the 250 still, which seems impossible. So, I mean, he'll be a probably top 250, top 200 guy by the time we're all said and done. I mean, any of those guys, honestly, like Jordan Hall this time last year was probably an unranked four-star. And then between a huge senior year and his showing at the All-American Bowl is a five-star number 17 player in the country or whatever by the end of this thing. So all those guys could go way up, depending on how their seasons go. But if I'm betting on guys to rise, I'm betting on Nitro Tuggle. I'm betting on Ryan Puglisi, and Christopher Jackson too.
You know it, Andy Stowe. Sting and Lex in 88, Crockett Cup. That was good. It was good stuff. That was 2 years before I was born, but I went back and watched it. It was good stuff. All right, here we go. Let's see. C Buck 11. Who did UGA move the needle with the most? Jed, we put out a war room, which if you're not a member of the vault and you don't know about war rooms are like humongous posts that we do that are chock full of all the information that we can absolutely squeeze out of every source, every, you know, nook and cranny of the different avenues of people involved with Georgia recruiting from every different angle. We put them in the war room, and, you know, we had three categories: guys Georgia had the most momentum with going into the visit, guys that were interesting, and then also guys that Georgia was kind of unlikely to sign going into the visit. And I moved Marcus Easley from interesting up to the most momentum category. And he, Jed, after taking his first official visit here, has moved up his commitment date. He originally told me he wasn't going to commit anywhere till October. He's now moved it up to July 8th. That was actually right when his official visit was concluding. A lot of positivity coming out of Athens and from our sources that we've talked to about Marcus Easley and also Daniel Calhoun, the big offensive tackles there that Georgia's recruiting.
Yeah, with Marcus, let's flash back. This is the same young man who came down from Illinois for a multi-day unofficial. I think I want to say it was like 3 days. During spring practice. So right then you see that and your ears perk up and you're like, whoa, this kid is serious. If he's coming that far on his own dime, like you've said with Ryan Montgomery, playing kids coming that far on their own dime and staying multiple days is always an interesting sign. But yeah, they feel good about him. They felt good about Calhoun going into the weekend. And I think this weekend only solidified Georgia's place at the top with Calhoun. I think another guy you got to look at is Justin Scott, who we mentioned, number one defensive tackle in the class, had never been to Athens before. And, you know, he comes down and he brings his parents. And I think the pitch is, you know, for Scott, obviously there's development. There's, you know, Georgia's compared him to Jalen Carter. So showing him how he could be developed. And then for the family, you got to get the family to trust you, right? You got to say, okay, we're going to send our son, I don't know, 800 miles or whatever from Chicago to Athens. We want to know who these coaches are. We want to know that we can trust our son with them. And so I think the staff kind of took a two-pronged approach, one with the player, one with the family throughout the weekend. And it went well. You know, the reports we've been hearing are strong. Georgia has elevated itself to top contender status. There's Notre Dame, there's Miami. Now, what I'm curious about with Scott is he has floated September 1st as a potential commitment date. It's his mother's birthday. It's not set in stone. I wonder if Georgia would love to get him back on campus for a game, just purely to get him on campus again, right, since he's only been once. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out the rest of the summer as far as timelines, return visits, all that kind of stuff. But that aside, you know, this visit from a Justin Scott perspective went about as well as Georgia could have hoped, and they went from, you know, they're in position to make a move, the holding pattern that we've talked about with him, to that the move has now been made, and Georgia is right there among the favorites with Justin Scott.
So to kind of recap, Justin Scott, I think upper trajectory, mm-hmm. Williams and Wannery, upper trajectory, the two tackles, Marcus Easley and Daniel Calhoun, and then Joseph Phillips had a great visit. Loved his time that he spent with Dylan Raiola. Loved his time that he spent with DeMarcus Riddick. Who, listen, what people don't know, DeMarcus Riddick is really close with Phillips. They're both Alabama guys, and he's actually been recruiting Phillips to Georgia. So for all the talk about it, DeMarcus Riddick has been championing Georgia for Joseph Phillips. So those are some of the guys. And then, of course, Carter Nelson, I think, really enjoyed his time in Athens. Pine Tree 1, how do things stand with Breland and Baker? Well, we'll find out with them later in the month. We do have to talk about, I missed the part about the running back question up here with D. Franklin 31, so I'll circle back to it. What made me think about Breland and Baker? They're from Modern Day. Today, it was reported at Greg Bivens 24/7. He first reported it that Nate Frazier was going to have a unofficial visit this weekend and return for an official in the fall. We confirmed that. We called and confirmed that and talked a little bit to people involved, and that is absolutely true. Nate Frazier will be in Athens on an unofficial this weekend, and I would think the better that Georgia does recruiting him, it would probably give him a better chance with Breland and Baker, their teammate there at Modern Day, because we know that Dylan Raiola has already been reaching out to all those guys at Modern Day. And if Georgia does better with Nate Frazier, then that would be just another avenue to kind of reach out to those guys, Jed. And speaking of Nate Frazier, I mean, it's got to be encouraging for Georgia to know, hey, you're going to get, you know, two more cracks at him to come on campus, one a multi-day unofficial and then another official visit in the fall. And, you know, some people think Nate Frazier is one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the country. So we'll see. We'll see. He's a kind of a late bloomer. Georgia, not just Georgia, everybody else came on late. But I think that whole Modern Day triangle right there is interesting. And listen, he's got visits to Oregon, to Alabama, to all these other schools going up. But people want to know about Georgia running back guys they can look at. Nate Frazier's one. And he's going to be here this weekend with Chauncey Bowens. Of course, Christian Clark is involved. So I think George is going to be fine at running back. But what's your take on kind of the whole triumvirate of Modern Day guys there, Jed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the wrinkle with Dylan Raiola coming on board is interesting because, I mean, he's a guy that has, you know, has pull all over the country, but that's closer to his neck of the woods. I think Breland is starting. There's like a short list emerging, I think, at this five tech position where you've got, you know, Edric Houston, you've got Jonah Janye, and then you've got Aiden Breland, and all those guys are kind of battling there. And Blaine, we've been, you know, pretty frank that it seems like Georgia's got work to do with Edric Houston, who will also be in campus on official this weekend. So say Houston goes elsewhere, as we kind of feel like he might at this point, Joseph Jonah Janye and Aiden Breland are kind of at the top of the list there at five tech. So Georgia will be working really hard with him. And then Baker, same thing. You know, there's with Malachi Tolliver, Marcus Harrison on board, Georgia feels good with Daniel Calhoun. Georgia feels good with Marcus Easley. There's a few names floating around for those last offensive line spots, whether it's Jordan Seaton, Casey Poe, who I forgot to mention on the board, and people kept calling me out on it. Fletcher Westfall, like there's several names floating around there, but Brandon Baker's definitely at the top of the list. Both those guys will be in Athens. Baker and Breland, anyway, will be in Athens on official visits last weekend in June. But yeah, as far as running backs, I'm interested to see how Chauncey Bowens goes because that's an official that's huge for Georgia. They got him on campus in January. He went back for a while, things kind of stalled, and boom, he pops up. He's going to be back for an official. So that's one where Georgia's really in position to take that recruitment of Bowens to the next level as they try to flip him from Florida.
Yeah, so Frazier, Bowens, Clark, those are kind of the guys that you're looking at running back-wise in the class here. They're looking to take two more guys. So you got three spots. We mentioned, you know, you got kind of Matthews, Coleman, Wingo, Smith are the four guys that are looking for, you know, one more really high-quality receiver in the class of 2024. Carter Nelson is a guy that they would just love to have in the class, period, and I think they made a big move with. We talked about, and I'm just recapping things here, we talked about Easley and Coleman, as you said, up front, big movers on the offensive line. Justin Scott, upward trajectory on the defensive line. Joseph Phillips at linebacker is a guy who that Georgia feels had a, you know, fantastic visit, and that you know, Joseph Phillips himself. I mean, he's told me it's a tremendous visit, and he is going to go to Tennessee this weekend. But he's a guy who I think loved everything about his trip, loved how Dylan Raiola recruited him, things like that. DeMarcus Riddick, getting him back on campus was big. And that whole DB class there, Peyton Woodyard, Ellis Robinson, DeMelo Jones in there, you know, recruiting guys along with Dylan Raiola. I think it was a big momentum weekend for Georgia. We're going to be talking a lot about this upcoming weekend. We'll get to that probably in a war room. We're going to have to jump off here in just a minute. Probably put a war room out midweek. But, Jed, you know, speaking of defensive back, KJ Bolden is a guy that they're really going to be hitting hard this weekend. You mentioned Edric Houston is going to be in town. Ryan Puglisi is going to be in town recruiting other guys. We've got, you know, we got Frazier coming in on an unofficial, Chauncey Bowens, as you mentioned. So it is a star-studded lineup once again for Georgia, the 9th to the 11th.
Absolutely, yeah. You've got the Buford duo. You've got Mike Matthews' official visits this weekend. And with Bolden, with Bolden, Houston, and Matthews, all those guys are coming off official visits to Clemson. So Georgia will be working to I mean, I wouldn't have called Clemson leader for any of those guys anyway, but they're all coming from the same place. You've got Chauncey Bowens, as we mentioned, Jordan Ross, who is another one of those edge five tech, whatever kind of guys. He will be in town on an official visit. And then, yeah, Nate Frazier is might be one of the more interesting ones of the weekend on an unofficial visit. Those summer unofficial visits have been pretty fruitful for Georgia in the past, you know, when guys make those multi-day trips. So we'll see how well they position themselves with Frazier heading into that official this fall.
Yeah, Jordan Ross is a guy to look at this weekend, edge guy from the state of Alabama. You got Jalen Hayward, who's a commit. Of course, we mentioned Puglisi's a commit. Nitro Tuggle is a commit. Jaden Riddell is a commit. They got Fletch Westfall coming in, like you mentioned. So lots of talent coming in to Athens this weekend. We'll have it covered for you next Monday night. Reaction to all that here on Rumors versus Facts. But if you want the real time, the breaking news, you want the insights as the visits are going on and get them so you can talk to your friends, you can talk to everybody about what's going on, you need to be a member of the Vault. You can be a member for free for a little while on here if you use the promo code UGAVisits. And we appreciate all you guys for tuning in to Rumors versus Facts week in and week out. We're just so thankful for the numbers on the show and stuff, and that's because you guys trust us to bring you information, and we bring it as we hear it and try to be as transparent and honest with you as we possibly can with all of the information out there. So remember to check out Julie's Bookkeeping, JulieTheBookkeeper.com, sponsoring the show. So we appreciate them. Appreciate you guys. Hit that like button, subscribe, turn on notifications before you log off. And for Jed May, I am Blaine Gilmer. We'll catch you guys next time on UGA Sports, Rumors versus Facts.